cliffcentral.com.
And now, whoop. And now, whoop. And now,
Uso Sola.
I just liked your hill.
Whoop.
What is that?
It's a thing that we do when we're adding spice to a song.
So it's no. So let's rephrase that. It's a thing you do when you don't know the words to the song. Sanman Nonge, welcome to the show. It is, frankly speaking, an hour of talking about hot potato issues in South Africa, what you think about it, what we really should be saying and speaking about. And I'm very excited to have Rorisang Tshabalala back in studio.
What's up, homie?
Where have you been, bruh?
Out and about.
No, just say where you were.
Why?
Just say where you were. Say last week I was here.
Last week I was out and about. I wasn't here.
Don't worry, the listeners all know because I told them last week where you were in Switzerland and then in France and then in Paris.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
You know, so I sent them pictures as well, so they all know. Someone's living the high life. The rest of us, we were in Bronco Sprite the other day.
We have to start somewhere.
We have to start somewhere, brother. Yeah. We have to start somewhere. How you doing, man?
Strong, man. It's back. It's good to be back. Of course, a very interesting time in South African and African landscape at the moment. All sorts of things and just this overriding sense. Aren't you tired of the politics in this country at the moment?
And
the politics are, it's just, it's a constant conversation around politics and how politics are affecting everything and getting in everyone's way. But I think the thing that for me that caught my eye and caught my heart, because you know most of the shows that we have are always focused on, you know, this is something that really beyond just intellectualizing really irritates me. And it was the situation at the Pietermaritzburg Girls High School.
Jeez, we're going back already, eh?
A racism incident at Pietermaritzburg Girls High School. Mm. But that was a student. It got us thinking around, but what is the state of, let's call it, transformation in the classroom as a means to beginning to move forward with this racism thing? At least let's look inside the classroom and say, what's going on there? To what extent do we have an integration in the Model C and private schools of black teachers that aren't just teaching Xhosa and North Sotho and Zulu, that are teaching some of the core subjects like mathematics and even English, you know? Mm-hmm. So to what extent have we moved in that regard? But also, white teachers in township schools, right? There's no such thing as a black school anymore, but we seem to have it because they're just schools that are considered black. They're for black students, where black teachers teach black students, right, in black communities. But South Africa is a different place now. It's no longer about black communities. We should be able to say white kids can go to schools and townships, but more specifically, teachers should be. So I'm like, okay, all these student teachers that are coming out of university and so on, because they're there, they all by some coincidence end up in schools in white communities or formerly white communities. Mm. is that a coincidence? Why in the world are we not seeing white teachers being allocated to? Because it then goes with opportunity and all of that
stigma.
So it would be very interesting to explore, and I think we've got the right type of guests to explore this today.
So it's an interesting discussion starting, I suppose, on Sunday. There was this whole thing, to add to your stories, Rory, about in the Sunday Times, about transformation in schools. And they had a picture of the Northcliffe High School teacher body. Mm-hmm. in their annual photographs, and I do feel a little bit sorry for Northcliffe because they're definitely not alone in this, but it is a beautiful picture of exactly where we are in our schools. There are two black staff members, and they are not the only ones. So 90% in the most expensive school, 91% in Hilton College, are white teachers. Now, this is Hilton College R250,000 a year to go and study there. How are they not able to attract black talent to their school?
It's a very big, and that's a very big question. Are black people being systematically excluded from the opportunities to teach at the height of education in some of these schools? And then what does it say in terms of perpetuating certain biases within society? So, to the extent that because that school probably has a lot of black kids, to the extent that the black people that they see and spend most of their time around are the ground staff, and the people that are teaching them and creating these relationships with them are white staff. What does that do for the black child, but also for the white child?
Definitely,
who just believes that they cannot maybe not even learn anything from a black person because, hey, I'm not seeing a literal expression of me learning anything from, because the people in front of me are all white. After so long, why is it that we still have this thing of untransformed staff bodies within schools?
There's a flip side to this conversation, isn't there, about the black parents as well, and I suppose the white parents. But in this case, I've spoken to a number of young parents who happen to be black, and there's an interesting psyche going on where they say they'd rather have their kids taught by white teachers. Have you heard that as well or not?
No, I haven't. I'd love to see your sample.
It wasn't a big sample, so it's not like all black people think this, but I'm just interested if that's a thing.
I'm increasingly hearing a lot of my friends and so on saying they're very concerned about the representation of black people in the lives of their own children.
Right.
They're saying, when my child goes to school, the only black people that he's exposed to are the people that clean and do the gardens and so on. The staff is all white. And what does that say? What does that say to him and his sense of worth and his sense of understanding around the place and position of black people within society? There is a conversation worth having, and I think that might be what you're raising around perceptions of quality.
Yes.
And whiteness. And that certainly is something that you see. You know, if a school becomes, you know, some of our former schools that we went to when we were there, we were the minority as black people. And if you go back there, you realize that the black people are the majority, and how then that is regarded as a shift in quality. Right, and all the good teachers leave and so on. And so what's at the root of that? And that, for me, I really believe is this unresolved racist tendencies within all of us that still need to be resolved, and we're seeing them in schools. And you know, the interesting thing is, let's leave private schools out of it for a bit. Public schools, government keeps preaching about this. Aren't they the ones that hire teachers and so on? So what is government doing about it? Of course, increasingly, in especially former Model C schools, you have a large staff complement being hired by the governing body itself, and those are the parents. And what are the parents as well doing about it? And so, yeah, I think this is a conversation worth having.
You can see, I just have to laugh. You can see we haven't seen each other in a while, huh?
Yeah, we're catching up.
There's about 15 shows here within the first little montage of discussions. I did miss you. I did miss you. So listen, if you have any comments or thoughts on this, you can hit us up cliffcentral.com on WeChat or at Rory Shabalala or at Yebo_Levy, L-E-V-Y. And we can take your thoughts, your comments, your questions about this. We've got a very cool and diverse bunch of people that we're speaking to today. I think what we need to understand is where we're going. Well, what's the real theme of this, Rory?
Yeah, well, frankly speaking, should we be, you know, should there be transformation in the classroom? How are we doing on transformation in the classroom? Or does it matter what the race of your teacher is? You know, so I think that's the big thing is, you know, frankly speaking, does my teacher's race matter? And it will be good to understand if it matters, why it matters, and to that extent what the impact of not transforming is within the classroom.
So let me ask you this then, what does it matter to you, Rory?
It does matter to me. It matters to me on a number of fronts. The first one is the role models that we put in front of our kids, right? And to the extent that that kids aren't being exposed to a diverse set of role models, it's only going to perpetuate societal biases. It's going to continue to perpetuate the idea that instruction comes from white people and black people clean the classroom and sweep the yard. I think our kids, black and white, need to be exposed to diversity, because even, you know, a teacher doesn't just bring the content of what they're teaching. They bring themselves, they bring relationship. We all have teachers that have impacted our lives and so on, and that can fundamentally change the relationship and the perception that one has of other races when you've had those sorts of profound relationships with teachers.
So let me just ask you very quickly before we hit our callers up and our people that we want to speak to. Are you telling me that you would, for your child, be willing to sacrifice, let's just say there's this space right now because transformation hasn't happened in our schools, right? You'd be willing to sacrifice your child's education quality to make sure that your child is then equally taught by black and white teachers.
But that's the point. Why do we believe that quality is compromised?
No, I'm saying in this space right now. So I 100% agree with you. There shouldn't be any kind of quality differentiation, and there isn't, right? There's high quality black teachers out there, but the schools right now aren't transformed, right?
Well, so I must admit, I don't have kids. I don't make these decisions, so I haven't looked.
So you're not there
I haven't
yet.
Looked across Fair the enough. Landscape Fair and enough. Trying and figured out if there's a school that has a diverse staff. That is also quality. So I can't comment. You've got kids.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
So how does that go? Well, I mean, just let's look at the overall. So you can't send your child to Hilton because that's 90% is white. You can't send your child if you aren't a high roller. You can't even send them to Northcliffe High School, government school, because that's at 96%. So it's even worse. 96% white. Schools like West, so Cape Town is just a disaster. You can't send them to Westerford, another government school. Can't send them to Bishops, another government school. In Joburg, you can't send them to St. John's, Rodine. It's
so
difficult.
So what do you do?
It's difficult.
You say, you know what? These things are...
Swaziland, man.
They matter less.
Swaziland.
Are the teachers there...
Waterford.
I believe the
staffing complement is mostly black.
Oh, fantastic.
At Waterford. Yeah. And that's, I think, the way to go.
We need to do something about this. I think it's not good enough that we're where we are. So I think let's begin to speak to some of the stakeholders in the education system and hear what they have to say about it.
All right, you found someone interesting, Rory. Someone who is counter to the situation.
I think we've got Swangila on the line.
Okay.
You found somebody interesting. Somebody who's got a very interesting story around her experiences.
We wanted to speak to teachers as well. Sibongile, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. I believe you are the word is invigilating. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Jeepers.
Yes, but they haven't started writing, so it's like a study session.
Oh, I see. So, sorry, it's Abongile, not Sibongile. I apologize about that.
Yeah, no worries.
So you've got an interesting story. I spoke to your sister, I think your relative, on Facebook, and she said that at one stage when you were applying for jobs, you and a colleague who happened to be white, same degree, same years of experience, applied for a private school position in Pretoria, and lo and behold, you didn't get the job and your white colleague did. Why do you think that was?
Well, let me just, there are a couple of things I'd correct with the story.
Sure.
We both applied to the same school. Actually, it's a fee-paying government school. And we do have the same qualification, same level of experience, but it was for two different departments. So she teaches English, I teach in the commercial department. I mean, on my end, I sent in the application. I didn't receive a response as to whether or not the application was successful or not. But I did, after that, find out that the position did go to a white candidate, a white male. And the justification that was given by the friend of mine was that possibly because the school had been using this person as a supply teacher or a temporary teacher, and perhaps that's why they were preferred over myself. But yeah, so that was the one situation. The other was I applied to a private school position as well. And with that as well, you just don't get any response back. And generally, I find that when my white friends or colleagues go and apply for positions, similar level of experience, they tend to get the job.
So do you believe that there's a problem of, let's say, racism as far as the recruitment and at least putting together staff complements in schools?
I definitely think so, because I currently work at a predominantly black student body school, but the educators are predominantly white. And we often joke amongst ourselves that we feel like it's a quota system. You know, if you've got at least 10 black teachers on the student body, it doesn't make you look racist. But I also think that from the side of parents, parents contribute to it as well.
Black
parents who I feel like they don't show confidence in us as black educators.
Okay.
And they also, especially those black parents with more money, tend to move their kids to the more affluent schools with predominantly white teachers.
Amangile, just help me understand, how does the recruitment process work, let's say in the government system? Isn't it government that makes the decision of who goes to which school?
It's twofold. So you can apply directly to district, and if the school fails to fill the position themselves, then someone is sent to the school by the district. The other way that it's done is it's done by the school, because remember, you've got SGB posts and you've also got the government posts. So then you will have, you'd have the, say, principal, the deputy principal, the head of department, and a school governing body member. And they would do the interview process. They would then motivate the department as to why this person needs to be appointed, and then, you know, the appointment takes place. But I feel like the Department of Education is also not looking very closely at our former Model C schools to see that the representation of the staff complement matches that of the student body.
Abungile, Panyaza Lesufi has been pretty vocal about this. The June 1st policy conference, he spoke about transformation. Do you think that he's all talk and no action?
You know, perhaps not directly, because I would say, obviously, if you've already got these existing teachers, you can't just fire them and replace them with black teachers. But what I would suggest is that when vacancies do open up, that, you know, preference, if we're going to go the affirmative action route, preference should be given to people of color in terms of filling those positions.
So where do they end up? If I may ask, how old are you, Avangila?
Oh, I am 31 years old.
So you're a young teacher. You're fairly young in the thing. So
relatively.
So where do your peers end up? So you come out of college or university and you're now all excited about getting into the classroom. So where have you guys ended up?
A lot of my peers, especially that I compete, because I went and worked first, then went into teaching. And a lot of them through the postgraduate program would have ended up at what we would call township schools, because that's where they can get positions more readily. Or otherwise, people will try to reskill and then try to go into something else. The positions are there. People do get employed, but it's not necessarily in the areas where you'd want to be. So you might be forced to go further away from home because that's just where you're getting a position.
And what happens to your white colleagues or the people that you studied with that are white? Do they end up, because I imagine they get exposed to the same posts, and some of those are in townships and so on, but we don't really hear of an influx of white teachers in the township. So where do they end up?
And I don't have statistics, right? I wouldn't say 50% of them have gone too. But a large majority have been absorbed into the private schooling system. I'm going to name drop here. So you've got your Curos hiring them. You've got Midstream College that I know of. There's also an academy that's in Pretoria. So more often than not, former classmates and colleagues, they've gone into the private schooling system. Some of them have gone overseas, obviously.
But the same, they get absorbed into the same posts that you guys are applying for as well.
And
there's somehow a disproportionate absorption of white teachers versus black teachers.
I would say so, definitely. That's it, in my estimation, that's what happens. And but I mean, obviously, I have no hard facts. But
so from my observation, what do you think is going on? If you had to summarize, as we let you go, so you can go and invigilate our lovely our lovely leaders of tomorrow. What do you think the issue is, and how do we resolve it?
I suppose I could say two things. One is that we still have this idea that Black teachers aren't as qualified as their white counterparts, even if, let's say, your transcript is going to say otherwise. And the second part of it is also, I think, us as Black educators just don't apply enough for those positions, because we take it for granted that you're just like, oh, okay, I'm probably not going to get this job anyway, so why try?
I'm interested, you know,
what I'd put it down to.
I find this fascinating simply because, Rory, we were speaking about it. These big schools, these big, specifically private schools, who come under the spotlight quite a bit and have come under the spotlight quite a bit lately, they should be dying for high quality, Black, talented teachers, which they are.
You would think so, yes.
I really don't understand this. I mean, I think it should be like a salary war out there, you know, because like it's clearly not happening. The staff rooms aren't changing, and yet all these principals in this article specifically are talking about they are creating transformation models and discussions and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But here are all the teachers applying and no one's getting the jobs.
You know, it's funny that you should say that. I just remembered something. Another friend worked at a school which she subsequently left because she felt that the staff complement was far too racist. They were trying to implement said transformation strategy, and the principal stood up in the staff room and said, listen, if we're honest, the people who are going to be applying for positions, talking about Black candidates now, he said, they're not going to be able to get here because they don't have transportation. And he then drew a parallel with his domestic worker and said, you know what, she has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I kid you not. Wow. I kid you not.
That's great.
He said his domestic worker has to get up at 4, get a bus, and so on. So really, teachers will have difficulty getting to the school.
The only other Black person I know is my domestic worker. So let me draw parallels about Black life according to her.
Shame. It was terrible. And yeah, as I say, my friend then left the school because she just couldn't take that kind of talk.
Well, Mangile, wrap up quickly. No, because we just need to finish up. So give us your last thoughts.
I think Mr. Lesufi particularly has to put a lot more pressure on private schools to integrate and transform their staff complement, because if they're not going to do it voluntarily, at least that's my opinion. I don't think they'll do it voluntarily.
Abungile, may I wish you all the best of luck in your teaching, and we really appreciate the work that you are doing as a teacher. We need more high-quality, passionate people. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time, guys.
All the best. Rory, what are your thoughts? I mean, very quickly.
I am very frustrated. I think the fact that we are still struggling with this is really, 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 really upsetting. You know, to the extent that you have people that are systematically excluding Black talent out of the classrooms and so on, and then we say there are no teachers. No, there are great teachers. You're just not creating the space for them.
Mm.
How is it that Akuro and all of these schools, the private schools, are disproportionately absorbing white teachers over Black teachers? It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
It just shows a perpetuation of racism that continues to happen in society. And then why are we surprised when you have young people growing up and also beginning to adopt these racist tendencies?
Why are we surprised about spray incidents?
Yeah, there was always this thing about, no, just let the old generation die. No, the old generation is passing on their biases to the new generation.
Mm.
And we're going to continue to have these issues if we don't address them. I think it's not good enough that to this day and age, we still have this going on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, man, and I think there's some interesting comments that are not worth speaking about that are coming through about some opinions, but those opinions are clearly...
He's a dumb mess.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, who we got next, Rory? What's happening? What's the story here?
Well, I think I'd love to speak to we got a white teacher who teaches in the township, and I think that would be a very interesting thing if we're able to. He's traveling. He's on the way to Cape Town. So, if we are able to reach him, that would be great. We also have NAPTOSA, so they're the National Teachers Association, Professional Teachers Association.
A union.
They're a union. So it would be good to hear from them around what they think. And then finally, we've got somebody from the South African Governing Body Foundation as well. And that assumedly is just a lot of parents. And so it would be good to ask them around, so how concerned are you guys about the fact that the classroom is not transforming? I'm hot and bothered. I'm really upset.
I'm
upset about what's happening. But of course, we've got other listeners who are sending in messages and saying, "Hey, I had a coloured teacher, or I had a coloured master maths teacher, and he was kiff." So, you see, the point that needs to be made here is we need to separate this connection between colour and quality. And if we do that, then we should be able to see again. This is the same thing we speak about over and over again on the show, is we then should be able, if in a country of 80%, at least 80% black people, then we should be able to see that representation in your staff. And if it's not in your staff, then we've got a problem. What is going on? Then it means that there is systematic, deliberate attempts to keep black staff out of white, so-called white schools. And in the same way, I still need to understand why we aren't seeing white people having to travel the distances that black teachers have to travel, so they can go and teach in Soweto and go and teach in Diepsloot and go and teach in Langa, wherever. That for me is frustrating, because it means that the best opportunities in the leafy suburbs, in these schools where you've got affluence, are being reserved for white teachers as opposed to black teachers, and that is a problem.
All right, we got Tim Gordon on the line now. Rory, he's part of the governing body, is that correct?
Yes, South African Governing Body Foundation. Good morning, Tim.
Morning to you and to your listeners.
Tim, let's jump into it. So we're discussing this issue of transformation, particularly in relation to the racism incidents that we're seeing across the country, particularly in the schools. The Sunday Times just came out with a report this weekend, stating the extent of diversity in staff complements. Now, what does the South African Governing Body Foundation do, and in what respect does it have interaction with this particular problem?
We have very significant interaction with that problem. We understand the problematics of it. But at the same time, without in any way wishing to sound defensive, I would say that I think that both the Sunday Times in its report and the media in general in their reporting, understandably but not comfortably, overlook the positives and focus on the negatives, on those things which are going to grab the headlines. Obviously, that's what your job is. But I really do think that we need to look really carefully at the bigger picture as well.
Tim, what is the bigger picture in respect to this? So while there are the positives, and we probably create the opportunities to discuss the positives in the education system, is this not a very big negative in the context of where our country comes from?
I think in reality it's a very small negative. I think that if you take the big picture into account and you see the number of young people who absolutely regardless of race, color, creed, economic standing, are getting on very, very well with each other. They are competing with each other. They are playing with each other. They are living with each other. They are loving each other. They are competing with each other. They are collaborating with each other in a way that is not found anywhere else in our society other than in a relatively small number of schools, but those are the schools where the racist problems occur. And they occur because young people are making space for themselves. They are finding their way in life.
And part of that is them expressing that it's unacceptable that we still have these undiverse teaching complements. We just had a teacher on before you, and she indicates that it's very frustrating. She speaks about applying to schools and having a situation where there's a disproportionate absorption of white teachers into former Model C and private schools as opposed to black teachers. So when you say it is a small issue, in which way is it small, considering that these teachers represent probably a very important pillar in the child's life in terms of role models? And if all the child sees are the black staff, the black people who are just cleaning the grounds and who are cleaning the classrooms, and the majority of teachers, over 90%, are white. What does that, does that not perpetuate the very problem we have in society? If you're saying it's a small problem in the context of the history of this country, is it really a fair comment to make?
No, hang on a minute. You've taken my words a little bit out of context.
Yes.
What I'm saying is a small problem is a number of racist issues that we have between young people in our schools.
Okay.
The huge majority of our young people who are in integrated schools, let's call it that for want of a better name, are getting on extremely well together, are learning to live with each other, are living in a natural situation. And the flare-ups that come, pretty sadly, given the history you're talking about, are perhaps to be expected in some cases. But I think we have fewer of them than would be expected. That's the one thing. I think the second thing is that in many of them, race is not the factor. It is teenagism and that sort of thing that is a factor. And you report on the ones where they happen to have people of different races. One doesn't look at the realities of situation where the vast majority are getting on extremely well and are learning to break away from that sort of past that we have had. So that's why I say in that context, it is small. If we have a look at the staffing situation, there we have a different picture emerging. Mm. Again, there are reasons for it. I'm not going to go into all the reasons. We'd probably need another program for that.
What are the key reasons, Tim? Just at least to educate those of us that aren't as deeply embedded in the system.
The very first key reason is that, unfortunately, there is a very small proportion of the applications that come in to what are still incorrectly seen as white schools coming from black staff members.
Okay.
And that is something which we have spent, just for example, in May, June, I have addressed 15 seminars of our members on correcting that.
So we're not getting applications from black. We're not getting people, black people, applying into these formerly or seen as white schools.
That's correct.
Okay.
There are very, very few that apply.
Okay.
People tell me that they have had 60 applications, of which 57 came from white people.
That
was one quote that came in one of the seminars that I was speaking at. But we say then that what one has got to do, and in this respect, I'm absolutely with you, that the schools need to go out and ensure not that they simply wait for applications, but that they actively seek applications from people who are going to be exactly what you mentioned, the role models, so that every young person in a school can find an older person in the school that they are comfortable with looking up to, with modeling themselves on. And there, as I say, we as an organization have spent considerable time and effort on attempting to change some of the of the negatives which are carried over historically.
Tim, what are you doing and how can black teachers who are listening to the show get involved in what you're doing in terms of the process?
Well, in terms of the first process, it's a tiny little bit late in that we have just done 15 seminars where they could have come and heard what we had to say and listened to what we were asking for and encouraging both sides, encouraging management and governance to actively seek people from other race groups to apply and actively encourage people from other race groups to apply from our point of view. We believe that that is the area where the transformation has got stuck and that it's a sad reflection on society that that's not happening. Again, there are some reasons for that. Very clearly, some people... And I'm talking about integrating both ways because, of course, there are far, far, far too few white people in our schools which very sadly have still remained black schools.
Mm.
But you've got language issues. You've got distance issues. And it's a societal reflection that if you've got the choice of where you want to teach, work, you're going to try and stay closer to where you live rather than further from. You're going to, if you want to be a teacher, you're teaching, you know, you can treat the person's, if you're a veterinary person, you can treat a dog without being able to speak the dog's language. Mm. But you actually can't teach people without being able to speak their language.
Tim, it's interesting, and I am interested by what you're saying. It's a fascinating point of view. It just feels very counter. We've just had this amazing teacher who's had probably close to 8 years of teacher experience, Abongile, who's spoken to us, and she says almost the exact opposite to what you're saying in her experience and her black colleagues who are teachers' experience, is that she's been applying. She doesn't get feedback from the schools. She has to travel great distances now, and her colleagues as well, to go to schools that actually have accepted her. So
those are in black townships.
Because they're in black townships, and of course they don't live in black townships, you know, they just have to go teach there. So why is there this huge discrepancy in what you're saying to what is on the ground and what this teacher's experience is saying?
Well, the only thing that I can say is a partial explanation of that. Is that she is speaking from an experience of one, and I'm teaching from the feedback from 700 schools.
Mm.
Our schools, there will be, as you've indicated, one or two or three or seven people who are applying, but the general picture is that they are not applying.
Is there a problem at these former Model C schools and private schools where certain teachers are frowned upon because they are part of unions? Is that a concern that's been raised in your roadshows and in your discussions with all these schools?
It's interesting that is not a feature that has come up at all from the governance or management side. What has come up on occasion is that the teachers who belong to one or two of the unions philosophically feel uncomfortable in, let's call them, the other sort of schools because of the different approach. Now, again, I don't want to get terribly technical on this, but in essence, you will find two approaches to education almost across the world. If you look at the sort of schools that we have in our suburbs, they are based on an English model, which is based on developments that go back to the 1820s at rugby school in England, where the whole concept was the development of the entire character, nature of the young people that are being educated. You have the second one, perhaps France is one of the better models of that, where the teacher is regarded not as an educator of the entire person, but as simply an educational technologist, somebody who goes into the classroom, teaches well, and then that is the end of their responsibility. Now, we have both of those sort of schools in South Africa. We have some that believe in the educational technology, go in and teach well and then leave. And that is obviously one which is very different in nature from the one which says, no, when you're finished in the classroom, then you are expected to develop other things, get involved in sport, cultural activities, weekend work, evening activities, and so on. And some people don't want that. And our unions, interestingly, to some extent, reflect those two different approaches.
Tim, have you ever engaged with any kind of black teachers forum? Are there any black teachers forums that you know about?
We have that as another one of our historical difficulties. We engage very, very regularly with three of our sister organizations, if you'd like to call it that. And sadly, the organizations that we are talking about still reflect to some extent our history. We have got definitely more English medium schools as our members than we have either Afrikaans-speaking or Xhosa-speaking or Zulu-speaking or Sepedi-speaking schools.
Mm.
There are others which have a vast, vast, vast majority of people from those other languages who belong to their organizations. Again, that's, I suppose, where one feels most comfortable. But yes, we interact with them very, very regularly. I would say almost on a weekly basis.
How many people of color are on your exco at the moment, Tim?
On our exco at the moment, our chair is a person of color. Our chair in the Eastern Cape is a person of color. And in our other three branches which we have, they are white people.
So one could assume that there needs to be some kind of huge amounts of integration that is needed, not only at the schools, but also in organizations like yourselves, to understand what the lived experience is.
Certainly that is a need, and certainly that is something which we work really hard at trying to understand, yes.
I know we've got to run out of time, Rory. You want to ask a few questions, but the obvious one for me is we need to connect Abongile and her colleagues with Tim here so that they can have a very personal, intimate discussion about their experiences that seem so diverse. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, I think it's...
We would certainly love to do that as well.
I think it certainly would be worth it, Tim. My concern listening to you is that, you know, there comes... If we're going to have an honest conversation about this, we need to allow ourselves to also be vulnerable. It starts there because that's where we begin to acknowledge the issues. And I think what I'm hearing a lot from you is sort of a very defensive thing around, yes, there is a problem, but we need to understand this and that. Now, we have young black teachers, for example, who are coming through the system, haven't done anything to deserve being sidelined and are saying they're feeling sidelined. You're saying, on the other hand, we're not getting applications. So there's definitely something that's amiss in this entire spectrum. So I think for me, the big question, Tim, is so what do we do? What should happen? It's clearly not right. You mentioned as well that we're not seeing white teachers being absorbed into formerly black schools. So this is clearly not right. It is not a reflection of the values that we aspire to as a nation. What can you as an organization do to make sure that this changes?
All right. Well, just to say, I'm really not being defensive. I'm being the exact opposite. I am saying absolutely openly that it is an area that we believe needs to be addressed.
Mm.
And I have done 15 seminars in 3 weeks to try and persuade people from all persuasions that that is the way to go.
Yes.
So it is certainly not a defensive thing on our side. Mm. We are doing the exact opposite. We are trying to ensure that we both serve and include people from across the spectrum.
Absolutely. So what can you do?
The only thing that I'm saying is that there are some aspects which are slightly different in the education scene from the, let's say, the accounting scene or something like that, that make it a little more difficult and a little more understanding. But I believe that we need to continue to have the discussions. I would love to be able to chat to the young people that you are talking about. I would love to be able to take you at some stage into some of our schools and show what is happening.
You know what,
Andrew? I can give you an indication of the exact numbers.
So Andrew and myself will commit on air that we will facilitate this as an off-air intervention, and let's see if we can connect you to some of these groups of it, and maybe hear from them directly and see what what comes from it.
And maybe we should get some headmasters of these schools that haven't transformed as well to make them as vulnerable as you, Tim, and ask the questions as to why diversity roadmaps either haven't been created or haven't been implemented. I would think that that's a good commitment. We can do that, Rory. We can make a little change here, hopefully.
Let's do that. Well, thanks a lot, Tim, joining us, the National CEO of the South African Governing Body Foundation. Thanks a lot, Tim, and good luck with all of what comes next.
Good to have been with you.
Thanks.
And I look forward to further contact. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, I don't know, man.
Our energy is very low on this at the moment. Eh?
So my energy is not low. There's just a great sense of frustration because it's this thing around... Yeah, there's a problem, but you know there are some other things that we should be focusing on right now. And there isn't a plan. Yeah, so I spoke at a thing at 15 roadshows, and that's about all I'm going to do. Mm. You know, I would love to see a very clear action around how do we resolve this. It's not right. I don't. I'm not from whatever angle. that I'm trying to process this. Yes, you can't fire all of the teachers. You can't fire the existing teachers in the system and replace them with black teachers. That's fine, but you can't tell me that in all of these schools the teachers aren't retiring and spaces aren't being created. Mm. That for me just sounds crazy. So we have to do something, and it's 100% unacceptable. But okay, let's speak to somebody who has almost bucked the trend, seemingly, and he has decided and has gone on to, as a white teacher, gone on to teach in a supposedly, or let's call it a formerly black school. His name is Sven Glitenberg. Sven, good morning.
Name.
So yes. Sven, you're traveling. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us. So you are a statistical anomaly, Sven. What in the world got into you?
Interesting question. I think I think a lot of white people that grow up believing or wanting to believe that they're not racist have a deep desire to, quote unquote, save or help black people. So I guess that is part of the reason I probably started or wanted to teach in a conscious school 5 years ago. Other part is because in my life, my parents have moved around a lot. I've lived in different African countries. I'm used to moving to new places. So just part of my character, because of my upbringing, I'm a person who likes to live in different places with different people. And I don't necessarily need to be, look or talk similarly to the people I'm around. So I think those are two important elements. And then I guess some sort of political conviction to try and solve the problems in our society, but that's bound up, I think, in some way with that sector complex, I think, which is something I'm dealing with or I'm trying to deal with, and it's a constant. Yeah, I think it's something to constantly reflect on, the real reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because I think everybody should the real reasons why they're doing what they're doing.
So Sven, you teach. We're going to have to cut it short because of the line not being very good. I imagine it's because you're on the move. But you teach in Soweto, is that correct? Sorry, Sven. Sven.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're losing you. So do you teach in Soweto? I think we're going to have to cut that off, Sven. We will have to get Sven into, because that's a very interesting story. He bucks
the white savior model.
Yeah, well, he admits. He says, look, 5 years ago, he says, 5 years ago, this is what I was thinking. So it would be really good to get him in and understand. He certainly bucks the trend, and there's probably a Bucking the Trend show that we need to have. All these, all
that's
the people,
a nice one. Buck you the trend.
All the people that buck the trend. Yeah. It's quite interesting that he would have taken that decision, but it also sounds like he was raised in a very different society, and let's call it a community and a thought pattern to what the majority of teachers in our system would have been raised in, right? Mm. He moved around a number of African countries, comfortable with it. So you can see the difference, and yes, he is a sample size of one, but you can certainly see the difference way of upbringing, and you can see how that then changes your mindset and then begins to drive different behavior. Now, if we have teachers and principals that have been raised in this racist environment that was South Africa, how in the world do we expect them to make different choices and behave differently than what they already know? They don't know any other way. And that is where I'm saying then organizations, government and so on, need to be saying, okay, guys, it seems to be a little bit out of your league, I mean, a bit outside of your pay grade to fix this. Mm. So let's help you with laws and regulations and so on. And people will hate that, but how in the world are we going to change the situation?
It is so deep on so many levels. And the problem is, you know, like there's another show to be done about why white people, and I am being very, very generalistic here, so I know I'm about to get lambasted by the woke white people, the non-woke white people, but why there seems to be this situation of creating these closed spaces that then they want to continue to be in, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's one thing to talk about someone who's a little older, Rory, and the socialization that that person has gone through, where they've lived predominantly their life in apartheid, I'm almost a little bit more sympathetic. Am I empathetic? No. Am I sympathetic? Yes. Right? But someone who's 20, 25, 30, and then continues the cycle of fear, and that's really what it is in South Africa. We have a huge amount of fear amongst all our people in South Africa. Fear of a black teacher coming to your school to teach not Zulu or Xhosa, actually mathematics. Like, what is that about?
Well, let's speak to somebody who works within the teachers the teaching profession and works with teachers directly. He is Basil Manuel. He is the president of the National Professional Teachers Organization of South Africa. Good morning, Basil.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fantastic, thank you. Basil, we've been having quite a broad conversation around, you know, does the skin color of your teacher matter? And we've heard from a black teacher who said, you know what, our opportunities are limited. We are being shut out effectively of the former Model C in private schools. And then we had somebody from the South African Governing Body Foundation who says, no. The problem is that these schools are not getting enough black applications, and that's why they're unable to diversify their staff complement. What exactly is going on? Because we're confused.
Well, I can hear from what you're saying that it certainly does sound confusing. I would imagine it's a little bit of both, but I would like to believe that schools have to keep up numbers, and numbers go to the application. But in this day and age, I would be most concerned if there are people that are deliberately excluding any one group. And we know for a fact that your former Model C schools, your particularly your English former Model C schools, are the most integrated schools in the country. However, I think that there may still be one or two that are practicing old methods. I don't have anything that would prove that. But certainly, we interact with membership in all types of schools, and we are fully supportive of the idea that access has to be simply based on the criteria for access and not because of some hidden criteria that excludes.
Basil, we don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to ask you, when you say there's a lot of integration in what you call former Model C English schools, are you talking about student body or staff complement?
I'm talking about student body.
Okay.
Staffs change much slower. And let me just embroider on that a little bit. Remember that on average, teachers don't move around very much, unlike some other professions. So if a person joins the staff, they could be there for 40 years. And then, of course, we've got to be very careful about anti-selection. I am certain that there is anti-selection happening when it comes to staffing. However, a number of schools have certainly made great strides in integrating staff. But certainly I can agree that not enough has been done.
Can you point us to a school that has done well?
Yes. Look, my background is primarily in KZN. I can look at Carter High School. I can look at Alexandra High School. I can look at Girls High in Peter Maritzburg, the very school that has had all the drama recently with the youngster that went ballistic racially. It is a school that has made great strides in changing the staff.
But the Girls High, actually, quite interestingly, only has you know, no more than 5 black teachers.
Peter Maritzburg.
Peter Maritzburg Girls High, no?
Yeah.
It only has and those teachers specifically teach the Nguni languages.
Now that's very strange. Look, I'm talking about my history a few years ago with the school, and that seems to have changed a bit. But certainly, the schools like and Lynn Park, Alex, and Carter have made great strides. But I would agree, it's certainly not enough, and we mustn't box people in where we are employing people to teach specific subjects like Isi Zulu because the teacher is black. If you're a black teacher, that doesn't mean that you are a language teacher automatically.
Yeah. But Basil, we need to squeeze in 2 quick questions. The first one is, does it matter? You've been in the teaching profession. Does it matter what the color of the skin color of your teacher is?
I would imagine that it does matter. I was the head of a school for 18 years. And we went on a specific drive to ensure that we include teachers of every color and creed, because it does matter with identification. And children must be able to see, I was in a primary school, that the teachers of my skin color are as good as teachers of another skin color. So it does matter from that background. But it also does matter where I think that people are anti-selecting simply because of color.
Yeah. On that note, Basil, thank you very much. We're going to have to leave it there. It's I think this is a conversation that needs to be had in a number of different ways, Andrew. We've hardly scratched the surface on this, but I think something certainly has to be done.
It's a frustrating thing, isn't it?
It is, and we haven't done a racism show in ages, and we
I can feel that you're hot under that collar,
man. You know, but yeah,
it all starts at the schools, right?
It all starts at the schools,
ECD,
absolutely.
And then primary, and then high school, and then suddenly we go into varsity, and then we see these spur incidents, and we're like, but why?
But why? Yeah,
why?
And this is where the kids are spending most of their time in a week. You know,
let's do this. Let's commit to sorting out a discussion between our friend Tim and Abongile, and let's make some kind of change here. Let's Who said radio broadcasters can't make change, yeah?
Absolutely.
Nice
one. Let's give it a shot.
Hey, if you missed any of the podcast, check it out, cliffcentral.com/frankly speaking. We'll be back next week. Ciao, ciao. Cliffcentral.com.